Now, we've been working through the book of Galatians. And one thing we've noticed right away about this book, the reason why it's so important, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word is the same forever. The meanings, the archetypes, the templates, the messages that you see in the Bible pertain for all times. The old themes of mankind do not go away. As one famous person said, history repeats itself. It truly does. The same values that we're supposed to uphold as Christians, we still need to uphold today as Christians. Nothing has changed. And one thing that makes God angry, like we said, more than a weak Christian, someone who's struggling with backsliding, there's hope for you. You call on the Lord Jesus Christ, there is hope for you. Open apostasy. Those who want to use God's name, they want to call themselves Christians, but really hate Him, He hates. Our God is a loving God, but He's also a God that's righteous and He hates sin. And He especially hates and will judge apostate movements. Now, one thing that we've seen, not just in our country, but around the world, Paul's book of Galatians applies to the church today pretty much around the world. A church that was once faithful, that helped to shape the nations in America, in Europe, in Australia. A witnessing church has become a backslidden church. Not all churches, but overall. The name Christian has been dragged through the mud. So now we've gone from a church that used to rest on the truths of Scripture and challenge those who taught error, to now we're the church of, can everybody just get along? That's not what God wanted. If God wanted everyone to just get along, He wouldn't have sent His Son into the world to save us from destruction. The devil, the greatest scheme the devil has, is to blur the lines of truth. To make one truth equal with another. So what's right for you is right for you. What's right for me is right for me. And there is no real truth value. No set of truths. No objective truth. There's nothing we can agree on. Once the devil gets you into that position, whether it's in the church or outside the church, you're finished. Now how do we see this play out practically? If you don't stand on Scripture, if you don't stand on the Word of God, everything starts to fall apart. Look at what's happening to the family today. Look at what's happening to the institution of marriage today, which was it's the first covenant that God gave regarding people as far as a man and a woman. It's the basic foundation. That's being destroyed. If you don't stand on the Bible, all you have is an opinion. And that's what we're getting today. Now, we had a disgusting event happen in this nation. People remember it as 9/11. It was a terrorist attack, the official story. It was hijacked planes by Islamic terrorists. You want to call them radical Muslims, that's fine. We're not blaming all Muslims. But the point is, they felt strongly enough about their faith that they believe this nation was behind much of their problem that they're having in the world. Because we support Israel, because there are so many Christian missionaries leaving this country, because they say we have defiled Muslim lands by sending our military into the Middle East and getting involved in foreign policies in ways we shouldn't be involved in it. They attacked us. They hijacked planes. And as the story goes, the towers eventually were taken down, Tower 1 and Tower 2. We also had the Pentagon hit. That's the official story. And we had a memorial. But one thing you learn is apostates will always behave like apostates, no matter how solemn the occasion, no matter how we're supposed to be respectful and mourn the occasion. The apostate always eventually hates truth, hates God, hates his word, and hates his fellow man. And what the apostate will do, they will always choose money or the material things or the power of this world over spiritual things and over the glory of God. So we had a 9-1-1 museum open, and to say the least, it's been a disgusting endeavor since it's been open. And I'm not saying it as someone who experienced 9-11, was there in the rebuilding phase. The families are saying it. You take a solemn occasion, something that's supposed to be in remembrance of these people, and you turn it, of course, in the great apostate way. Instead of choosing God, you choose mammon, and it was built to become a money maker. Now, before you think I'm overreacting, there are numerous articles that I could have pulled, but I took this one from Pamela Geller, who's a columnist, and she wrote an article called National Disgrace, the 9/11 Museum to Charge a $24 Admission. So if you have someone that you lost, that you love, like I have, I lost friends that I played peewee football with that went to become firemen, and they passed away in this horrible tragedy. You have to go and to honor them and to actually see, and to see where their remains are, because their remains are kept on site in that area, I have to pay an admission. So unlike other memorials and things of this type, where they're basically free, you got to pay money. And we're going to see why, how it's become so bloated and disgusting. And what we're going to see is, no matter who you think brought those towers down, there are a lot of theories and conspiracy theories, all the groups that are named, the one common denominator they have, they are apostates. They are rebels against God. And that's how the book of Galatians is going to tie in. We're going to see how damaging it is when we have a weak, effeminate church that does not want to correct errors in doctrine. So let's take a look at this. Joe Daniels, president and CEO of the 9/11 Memorial Museum, has announced a $24 mandatory admission fee for the 9/11 Memorial. It's a museum, not a movie. It's a memorial, not a theme park. What do they charge at Gettysburg or Pearl Harbor? Salaries at the, quote, nonprofit 9/11 Memorial and Museum are obscene. This allegedly nonprofit organization is supposed to be a tribute to 9/11 victims. It was built to tell the story of 9/11 to future generations about the worst day in American history. It was never intended to be a revenue-generating tourist attraction with a prohibitive budget and entrance fee. Now listen to the salaries of some of these executives. And you tell me that we don't have a problem with people choosing money over God. Daniel's salary was last reported to be $371,000. He received huge raises for 3 years running. As far back as 2009, there were no fewer than 11 staffers at the National September 11th Memorial and Museum who each made more than $170,000 a year. Four had salaries higher than $320,000. What did they do with the $1 billion it took to build this underground museum morgue? There is nothing in the memorial and museum that addresses the ideology behind the attack. In other words, it's politically incorrect. You can't bring out the point that it was a Muslim group that did it. The museum does not properly explain to the visitors that the attacks were committed in the name of jihad or Islamic holy war against the West. No jihad or Islam. Devastating. The worst thing is that once you're inside the museum, you'll see that the pictures of the perpetrators who carried out the attack are more prominent than the victims. This leads one to think, do the organizers of the museum want to pay tribute to the attackers or what? This lady speaking in her article. My organization, the American Freedom Defense Initiative, held a press conference on September 11, 2013 to protest this outrage. Among the speakers was 9/11 family member Nellie Braginski, who lost her only son, Alec, on 9/11. She told me recently, quote, "The museum must be free. Families cannot afford $24. They should be able to see what happened to their country. Travel and parking tolls are exorbitant. Who can spend that kind of money?" Braginski asked. "Why do they need 64 people to run the museum? At what salary? How many people are working? What are they doing all day? Where is the money? Five people would be enough. The salaries are enormous. Why not have students intern at the museum?" Then there is all this talk about 9/11 being, quote, "a day of service instead of a day of grieving. That, too, was contemptuous of our pain and loss. Why not make the museum a, quote, service institution, and students from across the country can volunteer their time and energy to man it? Instead, the leftist executives," these mean the super liberals, "running the museum, pays themselves enormous salaries, remove any mention of the motive behind this attack on our country, and demand that September 11th be about, quote, service." Valentina Lagina, whose son Alexander was at work on the 74th floor of the second tower on the 74th floor when he was murdered by Islamic jihadists on September 11, 2001, was just as outraged as Braginski was. And Sally Reagenhard, who lost her only son, firefighter Christian, said that the $24 charge was a disgrace, quote, "designed to maintain bloated salaries for stuffed suits and fat cats at Ground Zero." Reagenhard's organization, 9/11 Parents and Families of Firefighters and World Trade Center Victims, issued a statement saying that it, quote, "strongly disagrees with charging a large admission fee and also disagrees with expecting federal, state, and local governments to pay the tab with no fiscal restraints, while 9/11 Memorial Museum executives give themselves plush raises every year along with large expense accounts." Reagenhard said the current executives at the 9/11 Memorial Museum have outrageous six-figure salaries, some over $400,000 per year. They have also announced a $63 million bloated annual budget. This is totally out of control. A mandatory $24 admission fee will just serve the purpose of helping to pay these huge salaries and ensure that, quote, "the tale of two cities will continue as the rich will visit the museum, but the poor middle-class families won't be able to afford it. Unfortunately, there is no fiscal responsibility or accountability at this site. In the park, you can walk around and see only one American flag. That's as if the architects of the park are ashamed of being American. Then the museum, if you want to properly pay tribute to the victims, you have to visit the museum as well, for the remains of unidentified victims have all been located there. So to mourn for these innocents, you have to pay. The museum is built below the park, which isn't very heartwarming. Why can't such a place be built at street level? In Jerusalem, we know where that is, it's not even in our country, there is a much more honorable memorial for the victims of 9/11. Located on a terrace on a hill with a beautiful view of the surrounding area, it's a bronze sculpture that looks like a burning American flag. Symbolism and patriotism in one. Solemn but not cold. Why couldn't something like that have been done at the site of the attacks themselves? Now, it gets even more disgusting. I'm not even going to get into the gift shop where you could buy a stuffed rescue dog for $20. Where you can buy scarves with the day emblazoned on it for another $20. Whatever other trinkets and garbage they sell. Why? We're going to find out why. We're going to read God's word and find out why. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. When you reject the Lord Jesus Christ and you trust in men, whether it's to run a country or to honor the dead, they're always going to screw it up because they will always fall for the temptations of Satan, which is mammon. You can't serve two masters. If you're not changed inside in your heart, and it doesn't come out of you to want to love people, to love your neighbor, love their families, love their memories, you will turn into a dirtbag. Is that theologically correct enough? And that's what you do. You take people who are heartbroken, like myself, like my family, who lost people there, like my cousins who lost people there. People in civil service were not people from Iowa somewhere. And I love people from Iowa. I'm not insulting anyone. But the point is, we're New Yorkers who suffered through this, and this is what we get as a tribute. And that's why you need Christians, true Christians, to start running things again and get rid of the apostates. Now, let's look at Galatians chapter 5. And that's why the title of today's sermon is 9/11 Memorial and Apostasy. We are suffering for our lack of faith, for our backsliding as a people. And what does Paul tell us in chapter 5? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is indebted to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. There goes sola fide again. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Not by money, not by cash, by love. Ye did run well. He's pleading with them. You were doing fine as a church. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion come not of him that calleth you. It wasn't Jesus. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross is ceased. I would they were even cut off with trouble you. Yes, Paul wishing death, if that's the only thing that's going to take a false teacher out of the way. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. If you're not in the Spirit, if you're not in Christ, if you really think you can save yourself through ritual keeping, you're already lost. And every other of the 1 million religions in the world, it's all about your power and your ritual keeping. And many of them are apostates. They came from a Christian faith, or at least a proper teaching, like we said. Islam came over 600 years after Christianity. There were Arab Christians first before Arab Muslims. It's not a war against the Arab people. They're a beautiful people. They have been hoodwinked, or as one famous prophet said, bamboozled. They've been destroyed because of a false religion, an apostate religion. Islam is a Christian apostasy. They have Jesus. They talk about his greatness. They talk about his virgin birth. They speak about how he could do real miracles and Muhammad couldn't. But he's the wrong Jesus. He's not the Son of God. They say he never went to the cross. It is an apostasy. And this is what we have to realize, what happened that day. I don't care, and this is point number one in the sermon, the children of God are not slaves to any external religious system. We are bond servants of Christ and follow his teaching. A living faith works in love. The recent 9/11 memorial should remind Christians of the devastating consequences of apostasy. Whatever conspiracy theory you believe regarding the perpetrators of 9/11, whether it's the Jews, the Muslims, the Freemasons, the Jesuits, the globalists, the U.S. government, etc., the one common denominator is that they are all apostates. Christians must stand up and cleanse the house of God. Our Lord will take care of the rest. Amen. People destroying their lives and their family. They're on the internet all day, all night. They're reading books all day, all night about who brought down the towers. I'm going to tell you what brought down the towers. The sin of everyone in this nation, all these different apostate groups, hate and evil brought down the towers. If we follow the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is an objective truth, and we stood on the Word of God and we loved our neighbors as ourselves, planes would have never flew into those buildings.
Amen.
Is that so complicated to say? Am I allowed to say that? Or I got to be politically correct and say that Jesus is equal to Muhammad, is equal to Buddha, is equal to the Easter Bunny, is equal to the Pope, is equal to Aunt Sally?
Tell the truth.
Amen. That's the point we're making. Now you see the Bible come alive. Apostasy has brought this out. I don't need to look at 90 different websites on who did this to the towers. The bottom line is, let's repent as a nation, let's cleanse the house of God, and get back on track before more happens. Because next time, it won't be a building. It'll be a mall blown up. It'll be a city bomb. It might go nuclear. Because just like Israel in the book of Isaiah, we do not want to repent. We still think it's a game. We think the Christian faith is a game. We have to repent. And don't be ashamed if you don't have 9 different theological degrees. Don't be ashamed if you go to a small church somewhere. Stand up for Christ.
Amen.
Throughout Bible history, it was David versus Goliath. It was Gideon versus the rest of the nation. It was Elijah versus the prophets of Baal. We're always outnumbered, and we always beat them when we do it on faith.
Amen.
False teachers are the ministers of apostasy, and their teachings lead to spiritual death. Paul wishes death upon these apostates if that is the only way to stop them. Let's see where Paul got this from. I mean, this pretty much, this is politically incorrect. I mean, Paul is saying that I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. Later on in this book, we're going to read about how Paul says, you know those guys who want to circumcise you? I wish they cut their whole private part off. How's that for a biblically correct Bible? That's what he says. Because Paul was honest. And if you wanted to make Paul angry, just insult Jesus Christ and what he did. And you got an angry Jew on your hands. And he's going to write a nasty letter to you to bring you back into the fold. Back into correct doctrine. Please turn to Exodus chapter 22.
Page 62.
Where did Paul get this from? The Old Testament, we can't read the Old Testament. That was for the Jews. It doesn't apply. Really, it doesn't. Let's see how brilliant this Old Testament is and how it's the foundation for the new. If we go to Exodus chapter 22, and Paul was definitely well-versed in the Torah, in the 5 books of Moses, he knew this. What are we told in Exodus 22, verse 18? Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. It just pops out in the scriptures, going over case law, and we just get this thrown in there. I'm sorry if I offended any witches, but you really need to change your practices. You can't be a witch and a Christian. And then we go to verse 20. He that sacrificeth unto any god, save unto the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed. Paul was brought up in these scriptures. He knew if you had a different gospel or a different Jesus, and if you didn't stand up to the sinful, to the apostates that were trying to corrupt the people and kill them spiritually, you were not being faithful. Now, does this mean this was written for Israel but can't be applied to the church? Does this mean we're supposed to go out now and start hacking to pieces unbelievers? Does this mean that we support a Muslim or a Jew or anybody who's not Christian being physically killed? Of course not. God curse those people that teach that from the pulpit or behave that way. But in the church, this is not to be accepted. This was written in the Old Testament for Israel and applies today in principle for the church. We are supposed to be strict inside this place.
Amen.
Not with nitpicking. Oh, you have fuzzy stuff in your navel. No, we don't look at people like this. Oh, you have dirt in your fingernails. In important things, not in garbage. Oh, so-and-so, I went to grab a pot. You told me don't grab the pot. I said, well, I want to grab the pot. I want to feed the homeless. Well, you feed the homeless, but I want to feed the homeless. And she gave me a really nasty look. Oh, we went out to give witness today, and Elder so-and-so, you know, he gave me a certain look. I thought he was being nasty. I said, why didn't... We don't want to hear these things. Just do the ministries. Do the work. We're talking about major sin. How can you walk into this church and say, I now believe the way the Jehovah's Witnesses do. Jesus was a great man. He is our prime example. But he really didn't die for us as the Son of God. How can you accept that? This is how apostasy is born. This is what Paul means. He repeated what Jesus said. A little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. What happens when you put a little yeast in some dough? Doesn't look like much at first, but when you walk back, you're like, wow, that thing really grew. That's what false doctrine does. Just throw it out there, don't correct it, and watch it grow in your life. Even in practical application, be careful. Be very careful. Don't let Oprah Winfrey dictate what you believe. She'll plant those seeds, and it's going to grow. Don't let Dr. Phil dictate what you're going to believe. He sounds okay. He sounds almost semi-Christian. It's 100% truth, or it's not truth.
Amen.
Be very careful. This is what apostates do. So Paul was wishing them even death. He's not being a hard man here. He is loving the people. Those who you love, you correct. No one's been corrected for the last, probably since the 1960s in this culture. Everything's okay. What's good for you is good for you. What's good for me is good for me. All truth is equal. If you want to fly a couple of planes in the building in the name of your God, it's equal to my God. It's all the same. I can't argue with you. That's how societies commit suicide. Total confusion. As those great prophets, the temptation said, ball of confusion. That's all it is. That's what the world is today. Let me hear. I love that song. They were telling the truth. Now, the thing is, everybody can have an opinion. It's very easy to point out what's wrong, right? Do you have answers for it? That's where Christians come in. Anyone can see that a broken down car is a broken down car. You tell your buddy, hey, your car stinks. Look, it won't even start. But are you a mechanic? That's what's needed. Not just pointing out the problem. That's why the talking heads, and I don't care if they call themselves left or right, Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative, they're all full of it because you notice how all they do is talk about the problems and criticize everyone. You never get an answer at the end of the show.
Yeah.
You turn on conservative radio, all you know, those liberals are destroying the country and all these liberal policies, and you look what's being done and blah, 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 blah. Okay, what's the answer? Oh, it's time to end our show. Thank you for our commercial sponsors for paying my salary. The same thing, you turn on the liberals. Oh, those conservatives, they're so old school and they're ruining this place. It's going to be a prison camp, what they're doing and blah. Okay, what do we do about it? Thank you so much to our commercial sponsors. Thank you for my salary. That's all it is. They're talking heads. They never give you an answer. We have an answer in the Word of God.
Amen.
What does God do with His people when they're out of control? Come back to me. Come back to me before you're judged. Come back to me. Let us reason together. Though your sins be red as crimson, right? Get washed with the Lord. Get washed with the Lord. So that's what we ought to do. Now, the marks of a true church are not external rituals, but acts of love. A mature church will love one another the way Christ commanded. All truth is not equal. Christian truth is the final authority. Christian truth brings life. And as we run away from Christian truth, we embrace a culture of death, and you get aborted babies, and planes flying into buildings, and people shooting other people at movie theaters, and World War III has already started, like we said, over 7-8 years ago, and the whole world's going to be up in flames because they reject the Son. And when you reject the Son, the Father is angered, and then He leaves you to your own devices. Galatians verses 13 through 15, chapter 5. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Where have we heard something like this before? Please turn to Matthew chapter 7.
7:16.
Now, I think the person speaking here in Matthew chapter 7 is pretty faithful. And what does he tell us? How can we tell the scoundrels? Well, whether it's the fruit that they're producing at the 9/11 museum, or it's the fruit that they're producing at the White House, or it's the fruit they're producing at Mecca, or in Syria, or in Iraq, or in Britain, or anywhere, look at the fruit. What are their life principles? Or in fancy language, what are their presuppositions, their basic beliefs? What are they doing for their people? What are they doing? Are they bringing destruction? Well, Jesus tells us in verse 15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. That's not seeker-friendly. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I'll profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So maybe we're not lying. We want works. We want a living faith. Once the Lord by his grace softens our hearts, and we're justified and we believe in him, we want a living faith. But don't put the cart before the horse. They're connected, but one always comes before the other. Our foundation is we're justified by grace, a free gift through faith. We're not saved by works. All these other false movements, there are always works. This was our argument to correct the Roman Catholic Church during the Reformation. Don't tell us we need the works of popes and priests or penances or pay indulgences to get us out of purgatory. It's a free gift from Christ. When I die, just like Jesus told the thief on the cross, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in purgatory. No. Paradise. Paradise. He didn't say thou shalt verily be with me in purgatory, and if you pay Johannes Tetzel, that priest, a couple of dollars, you throw some money at him, he might get you out. Or if your family actually pays money after you're dead, he'll get you out more quickly. This was the argument. The Pope behaves himself today. People forget what they've acted like before. Don't be fooled. These men gave you a certificate to get you out of purgatory for cash. That's how the Vatican was built. So don't think because all of a sudden they behave. If you go to a used car salesman and he gets caught playing out a scheme, a certain scheme, what does he do? Does he really change? No. If he doesn't repent, he just picks up a different scheme. If he had long hair, cuts his hair, shaves his mustache, wears some different suits, same crook, different look. I'm from Brooklyn, I can rap. Same crook, different look. So this is the point we're making. You have to see this. All of these, we love these people. We give witness to these people. We would die for these groups before we look to save ourselves. Because if I die, I go to heaven. If they die, they very possibly may go to hell because they don't believe. So I'm not anti-Islam. I don't hate Freemasonry. I don't hate the Jesuits. I don't hate the New World Order, any of these groups, these elitists that are trying to bring in this salvation by works. It's the old scheme, back to the garden. You got to remember something. These people have faith in their works, and that's how they get trapped. That's how they get fooled. So whether it's Roman Catholicism with the sacraments, or it's Islam with the five pillars, or it's our Jesuit friends with their spiritual exercises and their good works for the Pope, whether it's believing in the great architect of the universe and that doing works as a brotherhood of man will get us into some type of godhood status, all of these are still salvation and justification by works. Don't be fooled. What you're holding here, and the reason why they hate this, is the key to eternal life. You cannot be fooled. Don't be fooled. I am not angry at any of the groups that might have carried out 9/11. As a matter of fact, I pray and I fast for them. I want them to come to Christ.
Amen.
What you did was not godly. It was wicked.
Amen.
And even now, the people pilfering money and doing these different things, I don't hate them. But for God, that would be me. If it wasn't for the Spirit of God, I would be in the museum taking 400 grand a year. Let me not think so highly of myself, or you think so highly of yourself. We pray and fast for the wicked. We want them to be saved. But as Ephesians 5:11 tells us, we will reveal their schemes. You have to reveal the schemes. We don't fight them with bombs and guns. We shame them through the Word of God. Wake up! If you don't correct them, you don't love them. Why do we have such a zoo in many of our neighborhoods today? All people of all cultures, all backgrounds. Everybody. The kids are a mess. Why? You gave them everything but love. You gave them everything but correction. You gave them material things. You made peace with them. You became their buddy. You told them they're okay as they're picking their nose and spitting on the floor. You never corrected them. And they grow up from little tyrants into big tyrants. And then when they got a gun to your head at the gas station, now you want to complain about them. Maybe you should have took them to church and read the Word. Maybe you should have been more worried about their soul being saved than if they got a good job when they were older. That's salvation now in America. My son, he's got a good job. Really? Yeah, I mean, fine, during the week he's hanging out, he's doing coke, he's going to strip clubs and he beats his wife, but he's got a good job. And same thing with the ladies. Oh, she works for a Fortune 500 company. Her life's a mess. She's had 12 abortions, and she's addicted to pocketbooks and shoes. She's $50,000 in debt, but she's got a good job. Doesn't it sound familiar? Salvation by works, by education, it's from here. The Lord has to convert your heart. Love your children up. Let my children, let all of them, stand behind the horses in Central Park, shoveling the horse manure. Let that be their job. But let them love Christ, and I will die a proud father.
Amen.
So that's what God wants from us. We are to love one another. We are not to bite each other's heads off.
Amen.
When you see a weak Christian, when you see another church that's weak, you correct them, and then you show them the right way. Everybody can point out the problems. Oh, the towers came down. It was a disgusting act. Not everyone has the solutions. Let's give them the solutions. I know evil brought those towers down. My God tells me that there is a real evil that exists in this world, inspired by the Dark One. Let me show you how you can come into the kingdom of light, help other people come into the kingdom of light, be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ, and stop these types of acts.
Amen.
They had stories about how when the towers fell, people dancing, certain groups.
I've seen it myself.
Dancing, they were happy the towers fell. We don't celebrate for things like that. You understand? These people, many of them were outside the church. We want to see them saved. But I'll tell you one thing, and I'm always one to try and make friends. When the National Cathedral, that godless temple in Washington, D.C., when the earthquake came and shattered part of that building, I was home dancing. Said, thank you, Lord, that abomination that desecrates your son, that for memorial services, to mourn the loss of people in this nation, that you have an unashamed minister of Christ standing there with an imam, with a Hindu priest, with a Wiccan, with a this, with a that. I was so happy when that building cracked. You know why? Because they want to have the name of Christ on their building. They want to call themselves a cathedral or a church. Let us celebrate when the apostates are shaken up. Okay? Let us not pick on the people in the world. Let's judge the house of God first. Everything else will fall in line. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Almighty God, we thank you, Lord, that we have your word. We thank you, Lord, that we're not just people noticing a problem. We don't just yell fire when we see a building on fire. But as Christians, you've given us the solution for it. And we could throw some water on that building and then help put out that fire. That we have the answers, we have the life principles, we have the Spirit of God, and we must go out there and be brave and teach people. As our culture continues to collapse because they have rejected the God who has given them all their blessings, we must stand in the gap and be brave. That, Lord, as you take the toys away from the spoiled children and they start running for answers, that we know our Bible enough to give them answers. We pray, dear God, that you would comfort the families of those who had loved ones and family and friends perish in 9/11, that disgusting, horrible act that was perpetrated against this nation and against the people of New York City. We pray, dear God, for comfort for these people and these families. We pray, Lord, that through your Spirit, that people would choose Christ and not money, and that many of those issues fixed at the museum would be fixed, and that people would not have to pay so much money for a ticket and for transportation just to visit the remains of their loved ones. We pray, dear God, that your church would wake up. It's been asleep for so long. We're going to sleep in our beds until the enemy comes and bashes us with a hammer over our head. And we're going to swear that we're safe the whole time we're doing it. Wake us up, dear God. Bring us out into the culture to confront the culture. We pray, dear God, you protect our little church until we gather again next week. And we always thank you in the name of your Son, our only King, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We will now...